Welcome to episode 39 of the Worship Drummer podcast. This is John Manna, your host. And you are a part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along online at worshipdrummer.com, or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. Well, hey, Worship Drummer fam. Hope everyone's doing well. We've come to the close of 2022. It's crazy to think how fast time flies, but I'm so grateful that we get to close off the year with a new friend of mine. His name is Matt McKenzie. And for those of you who might not be familiar with his name, you might be familiar with his drumming. Matt plays for Red Rocks Worship, helps oversee 17 of their drummers. And in this conversation, we talk about Jesus, talk about life, and we talk about drumming. And I know that you'll be enriched by everything he's got to say. And so without further ado, I'm pleased to present to you our Worship Drummer Hangout from our YouTube live stream. And here is Matt McKenzie. Well, there we go. Hey, welcome to Worship Drummer Hangout. It's the last one of the year. And so, Matt, you get the honor and privilege of being the closer for this year.
Man, what an honor.
Just to give a shout out to some people watching, we got Joel saying, let's go. Jeremiah McDonald, woo, love you, Matt. And you're a huge inspiration. Timothy Torres, amazing. So how we're going to break down the night is we're going to hang out. We're going to ask questions. I'm going to kick it off with some questions that I like to get us started with. It's very unscripted. And then for those of you tuning in, what we'll do is at some point, maybe in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we'll see how long-winded Matt is. and then we'll get to your questions. So in the live stream chat, if you want to start thinking up some questions, I wouldn't put them in quite now just in case I don't ever get back up to it. But just keep it, and maybe in about 10 minutes, I'll mention it again and you could start shooting them in. But Matt, as we get started, just a question. Is there like a fan on in the room or something? I could hear a little bit.
Let's see here.
If that's anything within your control, I don't know.
I'm just going to close out all of my apps.
Oh, is it the fan of your computer?
It probably the fan of my computer. I did have my UAD like console application on, so just closing out everything.
Hey, no worries. But you're good. All right, shout out to Brian watching from Illinois. Welcome.
Let's go, Brian. What's up, man?
Joel says Corey is here too. So what up, Corey?
Oh, what's up? Let's go.
Yes, sir. All right. So for those of you who don't know, a couple of weeks ago, Matt did a takeover. I think it was like December 8th, around there, the live recording you guys did.
Yeah.
And the way we got connected was through Jack Nellis, actually. And Jack messaged me, and he does a lot of recording projects. He's a phenomenal mixing engineer and drummer as well, by the way. So he messaged me. He's like, bro, I'm you know, helping this, working on this project, and have you ever heard of Matt McKenzie? And I was like, nah, doesn't ring a bell. And so he's like, you got to check this guy out like right now. And so that's legit what I did. And then he's like, I don't know, long story short, within like a couple of hours, we were like, all right, you're going to do an IG takeover and you're a beast of a drummer already, I could tell. And so tonight, man, we're going to just talk life, Jesus, and drums. How about that?
I love it.
Yeah. So kick us off. So obviously I've said you play drums for Red Rocks Worship. Would love to hear what God's been doing in that avenue in your life. But before we get there, like what's the bio? Tell us who you are, where you grew up, and what led you to where you find yourself today.
Man, okay, well, I'm gonna power punch this into like a, you know, try to get it in 5 minutes. Here's the elevator speech, so to speak. So I'm adopted from birth. So my story starts there. My parents, the only people I know as my parents, couldn't have kids, and so I was adopted from birth in Chesapeake, Virginia. So I'm from the East Coast. Shout out VA for sure. Got to go back there this year and do a conference, and that was super cool. But anyways, really from an early age, my parents really noticed that I had this knack for rhythm at a very early age. They would play music. I grew up listening to Stevie Wonder. So that was really what they raised me on. My dad's actually from Barbados, which is in the Caribbean. So I had a lot of that island flared influence. And my mom grew up in a very like Christian household. So listening to Christian music was always a thing. So Stephen Curtis Chapman, growing up on him, just heavily influenced by music from a young age. And so I got my first drum kit when I was 3 years old. Finally, my parents caved. They were like, we got to get this guy a drum set. Cause I was pulling out all my mom's pot and pans, you know, the classic story, taking her wooden spoons and breaking them because I'm banging on pots and pans in the kitchen. And they finally got me my first drum set, which was just a little like five piece kids kit. You know, I had both rack toms super spread out with the one cymbal like sticking out of the middle, a snare drum, a hi-hat, and I went to town on that thing. I think I beat the living snot out of that thing. used to play all day long, as long as my parents would let me, you know, of course, because the good thing about having parents who are really like bought into your gifting and bought into what the Lord's kind of doing in you is that they will buy houses with basements so that you can be in them, and then they will help you soundproof said room so it's a good environment. Yep, just like your space. So my mom and dad were like the pioneers of my gift as a drummer. So they instilled, you know, music and the church in me from like a very, very early age. So fast forward a little bit, my dad and mom decided to go and plant a church or be a part of a church plant that went out from Chesapeake, Virginia to Denver, Colorado, which is where I'm at now. And we planted a church here. And again, just being involved in church, I would show up early to help my dad set up. He was the worship leader at the time. I would go with him at 6 a.m. It was a load in, load out. Shout out to anybody who loads in, loads out every weekend. Oh my gosh.
Come on.
Much respect to you. That is a priestly calling for sure to do that and take up that mantle. I've done it multiple times in my life. It is not easy, but, I used to show up at 6 a.m. help load in. I'd always help the drummer set up. That was like the thing I was drawn to. I grew up in church, and then, my dad, ended up going to seminary, and becoming a pastor. And then we moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where I spent the majority of my teenage years. So moved there when I was 9, and started playing drums in the youth group when I was 12. And I've always had a love for, like I said, for music, and would always be, you know, at this point in my life, I was getting into bands like Reliant K, Hawthorne Heights. I found Under Oath, Aaron Gillespie, and it was game over. I found it a new type of music that I was just grappling onto and ran with. And, you know, me and my friends, we used to jam, we used to go over each other's houses. We used to play in the youth band and started playing in church. And that was really the majority of my, music and drumming, was always within the church. I've always served on a weekend on a worship team. So, and still do to this day. But then moving back, we actually moved back up to Denver. My dad was going to plant a church in the Springs, which is a town that's about an hour south of here. And then we ended up taking over the church we had originally planted in Denver, Colorado. He stepped in as the senior pastor. So a huge switcheroo and a change of plans, and God led us back up here. And I honestly hated it. I got to be honest with you. I wanted to be back in Arizona. That was where my friends were, my community, my youth group. Came up to something completely different. If y'all are familiar, most of you might play in a church that has a drum cage. I was in a drum cage and serving on the worship team. So you know, that's a heart check right there, right? It's like, oh my gosh, here's this cage thing. I don't like it. You know, it serves the music, right? But anyways, yeah, so kept playing in church. And then I all throughout my high school, early college years, I really wanted to be a touring musician. That's the only thing I wanted to do with my life. And I remember wrestling with my parents, literally like fighting with them on like, I'm going to quit school. I'm going to do the whole, you know, touring musician thing. And my dad very, very wisely told me, no, you need to stay in school. You need to finish your degree. You need to, you need to grapple on to the fact that you have other skills than just music, because that will serve you in your pursuit. So super grateful for my dad for instilling that in me. So didn't end up becoming a full-time musician, but I, when I was 17, I did get the opportunity to go out and tour for a little bit with a band, or a Christian rock band by the name of Random Hero. They're no longer around, but I got to play like Creation Fest and all these other places. And that was my first exposure to like being on the road, being in a van, setting up, tearing down, playing gigs. And it was really cool. And I honestly, if I'm being honest, John, I was there for myself. I wasn't there to make the name of Jesus famous. And the Lord, the Bible says the Lord's a jealous God. And I am so grateful that the Lord didn't let me go into that music career right then and there, because I wasn't prepared for that. And this is a mantle, guys. And if your heart isn't 100% in it for God's glory, like it's, it can be a very destructive thing. So the next couple of years of my life are really the Lord teaching me that, like, hey, you don't need this thing called drumming and music to be a person. You can be just my son, and that's can be enough for you. So I had to learn that the hard way. And so God took music away from me. And then eventually I started playing back in church again, and ended up switching churches to a different church here in town called Flatirons Church. Shout out to anybody at Flatirons that's on this YouTube live, but it's a great church here in town, and started playing there. And that was more like of the production, the clicks, the cues, the tracks, and all the things. So that was an up leveling of like what I was used to in local church environment. It was really like a step up, and it forced me to be a better musician, like coming into rehearsal, not like learning the parts, but having already learned the parts and just ready to drive it up with the band. So started playing there. And that's actually where I met the guys that represent the back line of Red Rocks Worship. So there's four guys that I've been playing music with for the past 8 years. John Meeting, he plays electric guitar and is one of the best electric guitar players out there. And he's a really solid producer too. That guy is insane. And a Cole Zander, who's probably the most creative person I know. He does a lot of our graphic stuff at the church. He's an excellent guitar player. And then Zach Hartgraves, who plays bass. So we occupy the pocket together. And all four of us met at Flatiron and started playing there. And then, you know, fast forward during COVID, Flatirons had actually shut down, and I wanted to keep playing, and fortunately I had some relationships over at Red Rocks, namely Tyler and Corey Miller, and I started playing young adults in the young adults ministry a little shortly before COVID down at Red Rocks on a Thursday night with Corey. And I remember it was the week the world like shut down. We didn't know if we were going to have church ever again, right? And Corey called me and was like, hey man, we're doing this like online service recording. We're going to film like 6 weeks of church, and none of our drummers can make it. Wow. And so we're curious if you wanted to come down and play. And it just so happened that, that I have Thursdays off, in my day job. So I was able to drive down there, which is, I live in North Denver. Our broadcast campus where we do all of our filming is down in Littleton. It's about a 30, 40 minute drive. drove down there and played this online service, which you can go check it out. It's the Quarantine Sessions. That's what we were doing, like, in the round. You can get on YouTube on Red Rocks Worship and you can see all that stuff. But that was my first really thing I did for like the weekend with Red Rocks. And it's kind of crazy, John, because ever since we started doing that and could actually film services and things, all of our online content for church at Red Rocks Church is actually filmed on a Thursday. Wow. So that was the evolution and the beginning of this whole thing of what we call WEX, which is weekend recording on a Thursday. You know, as we're going along, John started to come down and play, Zach started to come down and play, Cole started to come down and play, and it just turned into this thing where we were the band for this weekend service recording on Thursday. Fast forward to when we, during 2020, we got the chance to record an album. It's called Things of Heaven. You might have heard songs like Echo Holy and other songs off of it. But that's when we recorded that album. And shortly before we did that, they asked us to play on the album. You know, the guys that were playing at that time. So it was just it's crazy to see God's hand in my story. That's like a super condensed version. If you ever want the long version, let's hang and I can tell you. But that's like where I am today, getting the opportunity to play drums for Red Rocks Worship. And it's not just that, but I get the opportunity to really get to know and care for all of the drummers at Red Rocks Church, which is something that I love doing. I love one-on-one conversations, getting coffee with people and learning their story. I get the opportunity to do that. And then I go out on the road and play drums with Red Rocks Worship and play on the albums. And it's the funnest crew ever, man. I guess that's my story. And then I guess we'll get into, your next question, which was, what has God been doing?
A lot of cool stuff. If we could just like slow down a bit and just pick at a few things.
Sure.
So you ended just by saying that there are some, like, you work and you oversee the drummers. How many drummers are there? First question. Okay.
You can just there's 17 main drummers. Because we have four campuses here in Denver, and then we have youth as well. So what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the drummers that serve on weekends, they also play youth on Wednesdays. So we've got guys who will sometimes do youth on Wednesday and a Sunday. So they're really like committed. Our drummers are the best. So
sweet. That's good to know. So having said that, so there are 17 drummers. What are some things, not to like out anyone here, but what are some things that you've noticed as common areas maybe where worship drummers struggle? It could be spiritually, it could be, you know, as a musician, in their identity. I just want to leave it very open-ended. But maybe among 17 drummers, I'm sure there are some things that rise to the top that are kind of consistent with all 17 or almost all of them. So curious.
That's a great question. I would say, and I find this in myself too, I'm always trying to get better at this, but practice. Practice doesn't mean you get to practice the songs at rehearsal on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Even if it's sitting down with, even if all you have is a pillow and a pair of drumsticks, you can practice, and a click track. And the awesome thing about Planning Center, if you didn't know this, there's a click track built right into the app that will sync to whatever BPM the song that you're working on is. And it's all built in right there for you. You have all the tools. You know, one of the things that I tried to do early on when I started playing drums at Red Rocks, I asked for the catalog of songs and I went and learned them frontwards and backwards. So that I knew, knowing the song helps you create in the moment. So knowing the roadmap, like, okay, verse 2 comes in here and this is the vibe, can really help you in your journey to learn the song. So if you're a local church worship drummer, just go ask your worship leader, what is our catalog of songs currently, and learn them. Take the time, sit down and learn them. Pick the parts apart. YouTube, my goodness. YouTube is like your university. It's an uncapped well of knowledge and resource for you. This channel, Worship Drummer, There is so much stuff on here, y'all. I have watched stuff on this channel and been like, oh, that's how they did it. Okay. So funny. I'd say practice would be number one for sure. But number two, I think one thing I'm really passionate about, how you prepare offstage spiritually will translate how you lead on stage. And guys, drummers are worship leaders. Just because you don't have a mic in your hand doesn't mean you're not a worship leader. You're up there. You're on a stage. Your whole mission should be to point people towards Jesus. And that starts with your heart. And so one of the things that I've prayed for years now, before I start on any stage, whether it be in church or even if I'm playing a gig with an artist here in town, I pray for three things. Like, God, please help people see you in me, through me, and even audacious to say as me. Like, I don't even want to be present in this moment. Because if people see Jesus in that moment, in that worship set or whatever it is, their life is going to be changed forever. If they see a really cool drummer or a really cool bass guitar player or electric guitar player or singer, man, that stuff is so temporary. You'll forget it in a week. When life, you know, comes at you, what's going to help you in that moment is Jesus, not some performance that you might have seen at church or somewhere else. So that's something I've always prayed. And, you know, I do make my best effort to spend time in the Word, reading God's Word every day, and especially when we're going up to lead. One of my favorite things that our team does, whether it's a Thursday, whether we're out on the road before worship night, recording an album, is we all get into a room together and we just turn on some worship music and we go in together. So we seek out the presence of God together long before we are trying to help others do the same thing. Wow. That has been the most centering thing for me. It's helped me so much in my walk with Jesus. Tyler and Corey and Jess and Jesse, who are our main worship leaders, I mean, they do such a good job setting the tone, like saying, hey, you know, if we have a Thursday recording, we all know that 8:30 we're meeting upstairs in our volunteer room, and we're going to pray for 30 minutes and we're going to seek out the Lord. And we've seen it shift the atmosphere in the room, and that's not anything that we've done. That's the Holy Spirit doing its thing. So I really think I'm pretty passionate about like preparing yourself spiritually off stage, because it is a mantle. You are a worship leader, even if you have sticks in your hand and you're behind a plexiglass shield. So, yeah.
Wow. No, that's really cool. Curious, when you guys are playing some worship at 8:30, what bands are you playing or what songs are you?
Sure. Man, it's really whoever is the worship leader for that WEX service. So we have some structured leadership that is involved in our weekend services. And so whoever's the worship leader, quote unquote, the person overseeing that service pastorally, will set the tone and pick. But I mean, just to throw out some bands, Bethel is a huge, they're some of our worship leaders. So Brian and Jen Johnson and the rest of their team, Brandon Lake, Maverick City, all those dudes, Elevation, we really love, there's a band, they haven't put out a whole lot of stuff recently, but United Pursuit, just cause it's that like living room feel, House Fires. We're throwing on songs. We're even throwing on some like OG Hillsong tunes, you know, from like the old school records that we grew up with. And we just go in, man. We pray together. So
that's so cool, man. So deep and good. I love hearing the heart part, you know. Heart before beat is one of the hashtags that we've used for years at this point. We'll have more questions coming, and I see some coming in the live chat. You mentioned that you have Thursdays off from your day job. So what, if this is not full-time, what do you do full-time? And yeah, just give us a glimpse what a 9-to-5 looks like for you.
Yeah. Most days it's more like 8 to 6, but it's like, it's the best role in the world. So I get the opportunity to help lead a real estate team. So I'm actually in the business sector. Nice. What I do for my team is I help manage the relationship with all of our clients and potential clients. So I'm the guy talking to people, caring for them, really getting to do this, but maybe over the phone. So I'm a highly relational, like, connector type dude. And so it really fits the role. And the best part is you can do it from anywhere. So if we're out on the road, if you've ever toured or done something out outside of the context of your local church, you know that there's so much downtime, like, to kill. Yeah. So you can either go explore the city, which sometimes I get to do that. But a lot of the times I'm in my hotel room in front of my computer and I'm working. And then I help train our team on how to really talk to people and really care for them at a high level. So that's what I get to do on a, you know, on a weekly, sometimes weekend basis, 8 to 6, 9 to 5, various hours. But yeah, I've been doing that for the last 6 years and it's so rewarding. Yeah.
I love it. So cool. Let's talk a bit more Red Rocks Worship. And if you have any questions for Matt, now's a good time to shoot them in the comments on the live chat, and then we'll get to them after we finish this little segment. So Red Rocks Worship, you guys recorded an album recently. You could go there and talk to us about that experience. But what I really want to ask is, what has God been doing? Like, what's the pulse, if you could put your finger on what God is doing, whether it's in your local context or, you know, capital C church, what are you expectant for and what are you guys believing for?
Yeah. Well, earlier this year, Corey, who is one of our worship leaders, really, we started honing in on this verse out of Psalms, which is Psalm 100, where it says the password of praise is coming into his presence with thanksgiving in his courts with praise. And that unlocks something. It's a password, and passwords unlock something, right? And so we really started diving into, what does this mean, praise and thanksgiving? And gratitude, it's amazing how gratitude will shift your perspective to what is going on inside of your life, to seeing things from a higher point of view. And I think, I don't know, man, I think God invites us into that, because that's a bit of how he sees the world. He doesn't see the little mundane, I mean, he sees all the mundane stuff, but he doesn't get caught up in how, like, overwhelming that might be. He sees the whole picture. So anything, any trial that you're walking through right now, he sees the beginning and the end of it, and he's not scared because he's holding you through that. And so when we go into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, we're saying, God, thank you for who you are. That unlocks something in us to see something from a different perspective, to see our troubles, our trials, things we're walking through, life, whatever it is, in a different perspective. And that's really the heartbeat around what God's been doing at Red Rocks Church and through Red Rocks Worship, whether we're at home or going out on the road, is we've watched the Lord just transform a room by simply coming into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Yeah. It's been nuts. And a specific example of that, we were out on the road in Michigan, in Brighton, Michigan. I got to play at this church there, and it was the last stop of the tour. We were in a 15-passenger van that wasn't the most comfortable thing and the most comfortable experience. So we're already, you know, if you're on the road and you're doing that van life, it is tough, man. There is, your patience wears pretty thin. So we're all tired, and we had agreed to lead church services for this church that morning and do a worship night. So it was a full day, right?
Yeah.
It was honestly, most of our hearts were positioned like, hey man, this is going to be hard. Like, I don't know. But what the Lord dropped into that space during church was, hey, my son, Jesus, it cost him something to worship me. It's going to cost you something.
Wow.
Wow. It's going to cost you, if you want to do this and take up this mantle, it's going to cost you something. And if you're on the road, you're away from family, that's already a sacrifice on a lot of different levels. But in the moment, it's going to cost you something. You have to say no to your fleshly desire to want to sleep, you know, not be there, and say yes to coming into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. And what God did in the room during church was just a glimpse of what he was going to do in the room that night. And I have never experienced worship so tangible, a room so hungry for the presence of God. Like, the veil between heaven and earth was super thin that night. And oh my gosh, like, and it's nothing that we do. It's not like we have some special, like, you know, key or pad that unlocks the Holy Spirit. It's just, it's simply being faithful to set our hearts right and put our hearts in the right place and go after his presence with praise and thanksgiving. So that's really the heartbeat and the vibe around Red Rocks Worship. And I'm excited because we're going to California here in a few weeks. We're going to be in the San Francisco area, the LA area, and the San Diego area. And I'm really excited to do that with those churches out there. If you're going to be there, please DM me on Instagram. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to hang. Yeah, always love to get to know people. But that's the heartbeat around what's going on in Red Rocks Worship.
That's so cool, man. The connector in you. DM me.
Yeah. I love to know people's stories, man. I'm all about it. So
yeah, no, for sure. Worship Drummer family, take him up on the offer. He's a man of his word. All right. I'm wondering, I'm sure we'll get some gear questions later. So if they come up, we'll ask them then. I'm not a big gear guy, although everyone always asks, what are the cymbals? What are the drums? But let's go back here. Someone was asking about what church you attended in Phoenix. It says we were there from 03 to 13. Brian Young is asking, where'd you go to church in Phoenix?
Man, that would be crazy if Brian and I met. That'd be nuts. My family and I attended a church called Sovereign Grace Church of Gilbert. It's now called Center Church. It was a network of churches back in the day. Then one of them was planted there in Gilbert, Arizona, so the Eastern Valley.
There you go, Brian. Hope that helps. Fernando, what's up, brother? He's leaving us some hands up emoji.
I love it.
How long was your process before Red Rocks? Anthony Kaleniuk. I guess
that's a great question.
Yeah, leading up to 2020, I guess, around there.
Man. I started playing drums when I was 3, and then I started let's go from when I was playing in church. I started playing in church when I was 12, and getting involved in youth group, and then getting to play with Red Rocks Worship happened in 2020. So doing the math there, well, math was not my strong suit in college, so or in high school or in school period. So let's see. That's what calculators are for. It's about 15 years of playing drums in the local church setting before that, you know, that opportunity came across the table. So
love it.
Yeah.
So there you go. 13-ish years. Another question that came in from Whitetail Man. It's hard for me to let go and worship when I'm not on stage. I feel like I'm constantly listening to the worship team or a worship team if I'm at another church, thinking about what I would play. It's kind of like analyzing and all of that. What would you do if that's kind of a struggle and you're there maybe to worship, but your brain keeps locking and analyzing?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Great question. I think it'd be hard. It can be hard as a lot of us probably are one of the only drummers at the church when we serve every weekend and we don't get to go to church. Something that my wife and I have really fought for this year is going to church together. And so that's why I believe in development and having other people up there doing that thing, is so that I can go to church and worship, because I need to be led. And so I think one, you got to ask the Lord for a heart of like, Lord, show me what you want to speak to me in this service. You got to go in there with that, that posture. And then two, as best as you can, you have to not put on your analytical brain, but put on your, like if you're listening to music at home and being led in worship, that same space of like, oh man, like I'm caught up in the presence of the Lord. And the awesome thing about the Lord is he doesn't really care what it sounds like. I gotta be honest, like he cares about your heart. So, and it can be hard. Sometimes worship can be distracting because it's not being played well.
Yeah,
that can be distracting. And so that leads into like, hey, how do we prepare musically for this? But also like, how do we as worship leaders take off this quote unquote worship leader hat and go to church just as a normal church member? And I really think it was actually a story that we heard not too long ago, actually about somebody at Bethel. They said, man, I'm taking off my worship leader hat and now I'm putting on my mom hat. And the senior pastor, Bill Johnson, was like, you were never meant to take off the mom hat. Ooh. Like, so just because you're a worship leader, a worship drummer, you're going to church, doesn't mean that you take off the hat, son or daughter of God. Like, that's who you are. That's your identity. You need time with your father. You need to be fed. So I would say, sorry, this is super long-winded, but I'd go to church with that posture, not the posture of like critique or listening. There's a place for that. And I think that that's important and that's needed, but man, if you're going to church, go to worship. And that starts before you get there. So,
yeah. Amen. And I can add a little bit to that. So obviously drummer, I was a worship leader. Now I'm the lead pastor of our church. And so like I'm in the front row, you know, with a million things in my mind. Like I got to preach in a couple of minutes. What am I going to say when I come up at the end of worship as we lead into a time of prayer? What is God doing in the room? But then there's the musician brain that's still hearing, oh, did they go off click for a little phrase or something? Like, you know, there's all those things. But for me, it's like those have become secondary. And maybe this is a bad analogy, but like a parent, you know, you can hear your kid calling you and you can just like ignore it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not a good thing. I've got three young kids, but we do it. We do it sometimes. But that's in one sense, like I got to remember my preoccupation is not what I'm analyzing with, you know, the musician part of my brain, but it is worshiping Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll leave it there.
Yep. That's a great question, though.
Yeah, really good. Fernando says he's on his way to Dallas for Upper Room. And
let's go.
He's driving in his car, but he's like, what's in the cup? It never ends.
Well, I try to drink a lot of water and a lot of water-based substances. So this is tea from nice. Celestial Seasoning. Being my dad, if you remember, he's from Barbados, so we're tea drinkers in our household. So my wife and I have a cup of tea before we go to bed every night. So.
Beautiful. Maybe we'll change our name from Worship Drummer Hangout to like Bedtime Prayer or Devos.
There we go.
Just to follow up, Brian from Phoenix, he said, nice, we're in downtown Phoenix.
Okay, nice, man.
So,
gotta love Arizona. It's such a really cool vibe.
Never been. I've never been.
I would recommend going in the winter to escape some of that cold weather that you have in your neck of the woods. But
I hear you. Okay, a few more questions that have come in. So, what's your favorite place, or what are your favorite places to get SPD samples from? Joel's asking.
Well, I gotta plug John's sample library here. If you haven't checked that out, you need to go. There's so much stuff on there. I've been using a lot of the Perk samples. So Ishmelton and Sebastian, those guys are Oh my gosh, they're phenomenal. Insane drummers. And it's really cool that they made a product for all of us drummers. So like that last video that I posted recently on Instagram, that's all Perks amps. That's the surrounded kick drum, the Tambo, the worship Tambo that everybody's like, oh, I remember when that came out and it was like the craze. Another place that sound drums, Paul Mayberry is an absolute monster. So he's what that dude's done for the sample world is unreal. So those are like the main three that I draw from. My sample kits on the SPD change depending on, you know, where we're playing, the gig we're playing, or the type of music. On the sample train, our album, there's an album called Things of Heaven, The Other Side, and there's two parts to it, and that was all recorded on an SPD pad.
Wow.
That was all of us sitting in a studio in a room completely stripping the songs back and recreating them from the ground up. One of my favorite iterations was a clock sample, a ticking clock sample that we took from, I think it was a Rim Click or something that we took from Bodega, which is another sample pack that's really cool.
Yeah.
Cobes, the guy who used to be involved with Hillsong United, he created a lot of these sounds, and we took this like what was sounded like a clock ticking and replaced the hi-hat with that. And so if you listen to Breakthrough off of that album, it actually sounds like a clock like ticking back and forth, like cut, 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 cut. That's cool. So just creating, it's a new muscle. So yeah, we use like the kick pedal for the SPD pad. So really cool stuff that you can do with that. But
I love it. And so when you play at church, would you have an SPD there with samples ready to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I just have a bass kit. We have an SPD at all of our campuses, and I just have my bass kit on there, which is made up of some like perk samples and that sound stuff. I just basically have, and sometimes I'll change them out.
I love it. Good question, Joel. All right, Drums Code is asking, what is your favorite drum kit to play on?
Oh man. Shout out to Franklin Drums. Oh my goodness. If you've never played a Franklin kit, it's an experience, man. Grady and the team and Will, they're master craftsmen. So the kit, we just got a kit from them. It's called the Franklin Aspens kit. And we basically, an ode to Colorado is aspen trees. If you've ever been to Colorado in the fall, we have these beautiful aspen trees, and I'm always mesmerized not only by the leaves but the tree trunks. They're this burnt white finish, and so maybe I'll send John a picture and you can post it, but I basically just sent him a picture of an aspen tree trunk, and they ran with it, and the finished product was that. So that's my favorite kit to play by far. It sounds so good. That's what we used on the last album that we just recorded. So Jack Arnellis will tell you, we had that thing dialed in. It sounds so good. So,
man, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Send a picture whenever you get that. That's insane. And, we were trying to get Will on this, on like before we started doing the live streams.
Uh-huh.
For the podcast, just stuff was just going crazy to talk Franklin drums and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen still, I'm sure, but
You should have Will, and you should have Grady, who's like the guy who oversees a lot of the creation of the drums. He's the man. The both of them are I've never been treated better in my life by a company. When we were going to make a kit, they were calling, texting every other week, like saying, hey, what do you think about this? Collaborating, going back and forth. And they are insane. So
I love it. And their drums not only sound beautiful, they look sick.
Oh, they're nuts, man.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay. A couple of more questions. Jeremiah McDonald asks, what's the process in recording a live album? Is it easier or harder than in studio, recording in studio?
I think that depends on the person. I've always loved the aspect of live music because it involves people. It's communal. So for this project, we hired a guy by the name of Aaron Robertson, who's helped out with a lot of the most recent Elevation albums, the new Cody Carnes record with like Take Me at Your Word and all those like good Good Today or whatever that song's called. I'm horrible with song names, but he produced that record too. So he flew out. We did a whole week of pre-production. So he took our songs that our worship leaders had written, and he put demo tracks to all of them. So demo drums, electric guitar, all this stuff, and layered all this stuff and gave it to us about a month in advance. And I took that, started learning it at home, and just learned it verbatim. So that was our base when we were coming into pre-production week. And then all of us sat in our studio, which is at the Littleton campus. We have a studio with a live room and a sound and engineering room. And we hashed out these songs for a week straight. So there's 11 songs on this project. I think we ended up pre-proing 12, 13. I can't remember. So 11 songs on this record. But we all sat and hashed out these parts. And I remember one story from this, if we have time to share it, but one story in this is like the testimony to like a patience of a producer, because I'm not a patient person when I'm trying to get parts. I get frustrated real easy. And so we're it's 11:30 at night. It's super late. And we're going for this one drum break, which is on a song called There Is No Way. And it's a really cool drum break because it involves some different parts of the drum kit. We're going for this, and I couldn't get the part. There's this one little fill that I was trying to get to throw in there that was abnormal to play, so it was stretching me musically. So it's 11:30 at night. We're fighting for this part. We finally get it on a take. But I think I played that thing 25 times in a row. Wow. So it's a grind. And all of our guys had that experience, and this project really stretched us musically, which is awesome to have the opportunity to grow like that. And so, we only had one electric guitar player in studio, and John, who's one of our electric guitar player, played on all those pre-production tracks, and he was having to go back and re-record different parts. So he played like 8 different parts on every song. And insanity. But wow. It was so fun because we got to create that. So we spent a week in studio, and then the week leading up to the album recording, we spent a week rehearsing. So we spent a week rehearsing what we had laid down in studio. And then when we went to record it live on recording day, or at least the day before, typically most projects, they'll try to run the set from top to bottom to get a clean take with transitions and everything, because there's stuff that you can go back and fix, or like just narrow in, zero in on like, hey, this kick pattern here, remember it needs to be this. So we got super, super precise at that time. By the time the album night came around, we were dialed in.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's muscle memory. Yeah. Like you've worked at it, you've committed it to memory, and now you just have to execute. So, and the cool part about that is getting to be in the moment rather than having to remember all this stuff. Like we've done the hard work. It's there. It's all muscle memory, but be in the moment, enjoy it. Like read the room. 'Cause there's some flow moments on this album that were not scripted, that were not planned, that you're going to hear. That's what God was actually doing in the room. And he did a lot of stuff during that night, and I can't wait for people to hear the project, but it's going to be awesome.
I love that. And so with all this time, like, did you have to take 2 weeks off of work to just be there and be available?
Yep. Luckily my work team is awesome. I've got a teammate who does exactly what I do for our team, and he stepped up big time. Wow. To take over. I was able to play a little bit of double duty because we were done at like 5-6 o'clock most nights. And so I was able to, you know, on breaks, just check in and make sure everything was good. Our team communicates on an app called Marco Polo. So a lot of the questions and most of my work is actually done on there. So I was able to like clear out my Marco Polo inbox every day. But yeah, super, super grateful for the work team, like supporting me. More importantly, my wife, who I was gone, you know, pretty much all day for a week straight. Like she's a trooper. So,
amen. Shout out to all the wives.
Heck yeah. So,
oh, that's so cool, man. A couple of questions that are just like springing up in my mind. What are like, I don't know, two or three apps on your phone that you use in life or in drumming? Maybe that we can check out and download.
Yeah, if you don't have, for drumming purposes, if you don't have GapClick, so there's a drummer, his name's Benny Greb. Check him out. He's one of the he's an insane drummer, but his whole theory around time and feel and groove, he's got an hour and a half long DVD called the art and science of groove. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. That has influenced me a lot. So he came out with an app. It's called GapClick. And the cool part is you can play a click at like 120 BPM, right? And you can start to take away notes and hits. So it really tests your internal time. And sometimes if I'm just practicing, if I'm not even on a kit, I'll turn that on and take out all but the downbeat, all but the one or the four, and see how I line up. And that really helps me with time and internalizing time and feel. Yeah. And you can do all sorts of time signatures. So that's one of my favorite apps. I use the Notes app. I've got thousands of notes because I try to read a lot. And so I do Audible because I'm an audio like learner. And so with Audible, the easiest way to retain it is to write down notes. So whether I'm in the gym or on an airplane or in the car, I'll listen to the audio and then I'll take notes when I get to wherever I'm going to. And write that down. Thoughts and ideas around creating. Just the voice memos app. Yeah. Honestly, super easy. If you hear something in your head, if you're creating for a project, like mouth it out and throw it on a voice app so you have it and name it and date and timestamp it. So those are three that I probably use the most. So.
I love it. Brilliant. Quick other question that we just got from Joel. Do you use TuneBot or just tune by ear? What's your process look like?
Man, that's a great question. So how I've historically used to use TuneBot and what I ended up realizing is that not every drum was the same. And so it's really hard to stick a frequency that works on one drum will not work on the next drum because of how they were made, the wood and all that stuff. And so what I would do is with your kit, and the awesome thing about TuneBots is they can measure what you like. So tune to your ear, then measure it and just make that the repeatable thing. Like now you can now you have a measurable unit that you can tune to, but it's going to change. So if you, for instance, if we're playing like our Franklin kit in the studio, it could be one frequency versus if we're playing it, you know, in an arena or in our context at church, those are three different rooms. So it's the room is also going to change the way you tune your drum. So really you got to do it by ear and then measure it. I've always found success doing that, but
love it, man. That's cool. What are off the top of your head? Like you mentioned some drummers, but who are three of like the drummers that have influenced you the most, you'd say, in your years of formation?
Man, growing up on Stevie Wonder, Stanley Randolph, an absolute monster. So that guy, Aaron Spears, is another drummer. He's played for Usher and some other artists. Benny Greb, obviously the two guys that have held down, you know, the twos and the fours for John Mayer, Aaron Sterling, and Steve Jordan. Yeah. Oof, those guys are nuts. In the worship space, for sure, HB, that dude's a monster. Austin Davis, yeah, he'll blow your mind. My favorite thing he's ever done was that he remixed what's the name of that artist? The name is going to escape me. It's one of his Instagram videos where he took a song and put his own drums over it, and it's crazy, 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 crazy good. So
where did you, is that on Instagram?
It's on his Instagram page. Yeah. I'll have to find the artist's name is Jacob Collier.
Oh yeah,
So go find the video that he posted about that. It is nuts. That is like one of the best. And then I'm just trying to think of other worship guys. Paul Mayberry, like, I think he's the GOAT, the undisputed GOAT of worship drumming for sure. So
you want to hear a funny story on Paul Mayberry? Yeah. So it was 2005. And I had just finished Bible school, was back home in Montreal, Quebec, where I was born and raised. And I hosted Reuben Morgan from Hillsong, like, obviously way back. And they just showed up, you know, low key, took a flight in. We had a bus pick them up, and they were brought to my church. And so this kit right here was set up on the stage.
Oh, dang.
And I put my cymbals and all that, just because, I don't know, these guys are coming off a plane. And so I meet the drummer. It's Paul Mabry. And so he right away takes off all the cymbals. I was like, you know, whatever, do your thing. And when he was just like tuning the drums and sound checking, I like legit left whatever I was doing as host of the event. And I was like listening. I'm like, oh my goodness, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then Ben Fielding was on guitar.
Uh-huh.
Like all these like well-known guys that we know today. But back then I was like, I have no idea, except for Reuben Morgan. I knew him as a worship leader.
That's crazy.
Like Mighty to Save, I think, had just come out.
Oh man.
And so, yeah, that's like one story that if I could ever redo that whole like day and a half that we were together, I would have been very like, I would have asked a million questions. But anyway,
yeah,
fun stuff.
He's got like the dream job of every drummer, which is to sit in a room and try out different drums and sample them all day long.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. Man,
it is crazy. Good for him, man. He's the GOAT for sure. So
hands down. So yeah, that's a cool story that I'll never forget. Okay, couple of more questions before the closer. Micah Mandeville is asking, what's your favorite song from the album?
So Micah, shout out Micah. He's one of our other drummers at Red Rocks. This guy holds down the fort for young adults, most of the retreats. Plays on our weekend recording services and on the weekend at Littleton. He's a baller. So one of my favorite people on planet Earth for sure. Nice. So Micah, I would have to say there's a song called All I Ever Wanted that Corey Miller leads. The bridge on that song just takes the whole thing to another level. And that was probably the funnest one of the night to record for sure.
Nice. Do you know John Clark as well?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause he's been commenting
on a lot of
it, which is cool. Real quick. What was it like dialing in drums with Jack, like that whole experience? It like, cause obviously he's got an opinion. You have an idea of what you want. And how does that relationship work? Just, you never know. One day some of you guys listening might have to work on an album, and this might come in handy.
Yeah. Well, Jack is the one mixing our album. And so I'm always going to default to him because he's the one who's been entrusted with the sound of this record. And so, one, I wanted to learn from this guy because what you guys don't realize is that Jack is responsible for a lot of the drum sounds that you hear on the worship records you listen to today. So he's insane. So first starts with mics, and it was really a team effort. I want to shout out to we have the best audio engineer in house. His name is Jesse O'Brien. Unbelievable. Go follow him. He has a YouTube channel too. He has a whole thing about mixing drums. I'll send that your way, John, too. It's a great resource. But the three of us really worked together to get that kit sounding where it needs to. So changing heads and really dialing in tones. It really just came down to the micro turns of each knob of really getting it to the place. One trick that Jack shared with me that I thought was amazing, most of these drums sound, they have this natural ring and sound that you actually want because it's the natural sound of the drum. So most of us, you know, use snare weights or moon gels to choke those things just for quick tuning. Those things are awesome and amazing tools for quick tuning. But what Jack does is he cuts the moon gels in quarters and rolls them up and sticks them on the edges, like maybe two, depending on the diameter or circumference of the drum, rather. He will stick them on the edge, and that's, he just places enough on there to take the slight overtone out of it. But that was a really cool trick. So working with him, I learned so much. It really is a collaboration. It was a team effort. So everything you're hearing on there, and that was the three of us working together really, really closely to get a really dialed in drum sound. And, you know, I was texting with him earlier today. We're trying to just use the actual natural sound of the drums on the record. And that's the goal. And that's why we spent so much time dialing it in, because we didn't want to use samples to replace anything. We wanted to use the sound of the drums. So, So Jack's the man. And so is Jesse.
Love it. Love it. All right, Mike, we're going to get to his last question before I ask you our closing question. So he's asking if there's time. I'd love to hear Matt's most embarrassing drum story.
Oh, man. Well, actually, this is a great story. It's actually how I met my wife. So I'll condense it. But I was playing drums for a youth camp down in Glorieta, New Mexico. This church that I was at takes its youth group to Glorieta, New Mexico every year, for the youth retreat. And so I was playing drums, and I'm getting up on the drum platform, for the last song of service. And I slipped on the drum platform and hit my leg on the bearing edge. It put a nasty gash and a hole in my leg, and it's in front of everybody, right?
Wow.
Huge thud. All the kids start laughing and everybody's pointing fingers like, ha ha ha. Super embarrassing. But then I look down and I see nothing but like just a pool of red and blood pouring out of my leg. So sorry for, it's super graphic, but my wife was down there with the youth group as the camp nurse. And that's actually how we met, is she took care of the hole in my leg. And I'm a pretty thick brained person. I didn't want to go to the hospital for stitches. She was like, you are absolutely going to the hospital for stitches. You're going to lose your leg. This is a wound that needs stitches. And finally I caved and went. So that was our first argument. That was our first like getting into it. So yeah, I mean, she wins all the time.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's how we met. But that's the most embarrassing thing ever. Wow. For sure. So,
wild.
And I came back out and played the next worship set with a bum leg. Luckily it was the hat foot. So, it wasn't super essential. If it was the kick foot, oh man, that would have been bad. But yeah.
Wow. What a story, man. That's crazy. Thanks so much for your time, man. It's been really good.
Just
getting to know you better and, hearing a lot of wisdom that you've garnered over the years and what God's been doing in your heart and in your life as a worshiper and a drummer. And to close us out, I love asking the question of like the, speaking of the heart, like a heart piece, what's one thing, if you could preach to the worship drummers tonight as we close, that is a message you really want us to hear and take home with us, maybe, and remember every weekend where we're about to serve and do what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Take it as long as you need.
Yeah. So just looking at the life of Jesus, I've been really profoundly studying this year. What did Jesus do when he was here on earth? Like, how did he live? How did he interact with people? And all the time throughout the Bible, we see Jesus going out of his way to make himself available to others. And that's probably my favorite thing about this opportunity to play with Red Rocks Worship, is it's really just an opportunity to get to know others, because we interact with people, whether it's in our local context at church or out in the road. And so I guess if I'm talking to local church, you know, drummers, I would say, don't just spend all your time on Sunday or Saturday, whenever your service is, in the green room. I know it's super easy to do that. Go out and seek somebody out that maybe you haven't met before, because they know who you are. Regardless of if you think so or not, they see you up there. They know who you are. And you're probably going to get a comment like, hey man, that was great drumming today. That is your open door opportunity. I'm sure Jesus had a lot of opportunities where he was out walking around. People knew who he was. Oh, that's the guy that healed that dude last week. when people would come up to him, I bet instead of like basking in his like, oh yeah, you know, I healed that guy, he turned the tables on them.
Yeah.
And he said, I see you. So like the story of Zacchaeus, like, hey Zacchaeus, I see you. Come down from that tree. I'm dining at your house today. Go out and make people seen and help them feel known and loved, because a human condition, that's really what we all desire is. Yeah. We desire connection. We were made for community. And so we have a huge opportunity as worship leaders and drummers to go and meet the people in our midst. So it's not about the fame. It's not about the platform. It's not about how cool your drum fill was on whatever song. It is about the people that are in there. You don't know what they're walking through. And we've heard stories. One of the craziest stories that we heard once when we were out on the road, and someone got healed of cancer literally in the room. That was a story we wouldn't have heard if we weren't out in the lobby after the night, like mingling with people and meeting people. Like, we get to hear testimony, and that empowers you. Like, when I'm at the 11:30 service, which is our last service of the day, and oh my gosh, like, it's been a long day. I've been there since 6 a.m. and you hear a powerful testimony like that, I promise you, you'll play that service more jazz than you ever have. You'll lead better than you ever have because of that testimony. And this is a huge thing, man. And so, yeah, get out of the green room, meet the people, make yourself available. I try to do that whenever we're out on the road as much as I can. Meet people, learn their story, flip the tables on them. You have such an opportunity to help people feel seen, known, and loved. And that's all that Jesus would probably ask of us as we carry this mantle, is like, hey, do what I did. Yeah. Do what I did for people. So that's what I'd lead people with.
Amen, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, John. This is an honor. So.
Yeah. No, grateful for the time we get to spend. And at the same token, we're closing out the year with our Worship Drummer Hangouts. December 27th is where we're at today. So just a few more days and we turn a brand new chapter over. And I just want to end with prayer. I know this is a live stream, yeah. But as we come to the close of a year, we're looking at like what is in front of us. It's a blank slate. And my prayer is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a new year. If we make the same choices, nothing changes. But I look at it as a fresh opportunity, and hey, God, maybe there's a word he's going to give you for this new year. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to run with it. Maybe it's going to be a scripture verse that he's going to make jump out at you. And that's a word that's going to carry you through the next 365 days. I don't know what it is, but we just want to pray and surrender everything to God that's in front of us. And yeah. By the same token, my prayer is we're not at the same place next year at this time than where we find ourselves today. Bible says we go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And so I look at it as if we have to make progress in our walk with Jesus. And so I want to pray as we close. And Matt, thank you for your time. Thank yeah. you for your ministry and how you serve your local church, but also in the worship space, being faithful and putting out music that ushers people into the presence of King Jesus. So it's awesome. We love you.
Yeah, man.
And I'm just going to pray as we close. Father, I thank you for every single person that is here live with us, or maybe that'll listen to this in a future moment in history. But God, as we close this year, maybe this year's ending very differently than how we expected, could be for the better, for the worse. But Father, I pray that you would be near to every single one of us. Let us know your presence intimately. Let us know you intimately. And God, as a new year approaches, God, I do believe you desire to speak, and it's us who has to fine tune our hearing to hear what you're saying to us. So, Father, I pray that we would find time to quiet down the busyness of life, even the busyness of ministry sometimes. And, Father, this is a great moment where we can just say, God, what are you speaking? What are you saying mm-hmm. to us as individuals, maybe us as families, husbands and wives? And, God, that we look upon the new year the way you have it laid out for us. And so, God, may your will be done, I pray. Lord, I speak encouragement over anyone who's had a difficult year, that this new year will be blessed, that this new year will be filled with opportunity for us to choose to use our gift for your honor and glory. And so, Lord, I just pray for a new anointing upon every single person. Lord, we know that our gifts can fill a room, but it's your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And God, I just pray that there would be a fresh oil of anointing that comes upon us as worship leaders, and that, God, we would see your spirit move in the room. Let there be a shift in our worship, a shift in the atmosphere. We ask this tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And that's it. We're gonna end this live stream, and we could stay on for a bit longer, but I just want to say thanks again to the Worship Drummer family for hanging out. Matt, thank you. It's been real.
It has been real. Later, y'all.
Peace. Well, there you have it, guys, gals, drummers, everyone listening to this. I guess I shouldn't, you know, limit it to just drummers, because some worship leaders or production people listen to this as well. We're very grateful for you. And so as we close out this episode, we're also closing out a year. And so I hope it was okay that we ended with prayer. You know, it's not your typical podcast or live stream, but I don't care. And that's okay. What I do care about is that you put your heart before beat when you're playing. Remember, Jesus is worthy of our worship. And I just want to say that I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for how you serve your church. Thank you for how you serve the Lord. And it's important that you lead yourself well. And so I want to encourage you to check out the show notes for this, worshipdrummer.com/039. That's for episode 39. Again, worshipdrummer.com/039. And I really hope that you found this conversation helpful, that it's been a blessing to you. I'm looking forward to doing more in the future. And with that being said, it is my joy and privilege to wish you all a happy new year. And I believe that you had a blessed Christmas as well. And I'm looking forward to everything that God has in store for your life for 2023, as well as what we do here at Worship Drummer. And I'm believing it's going to be a big year, a big and exciting year. And glad to have you on the journey. So with that being said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the best on a brand new year. This is John Manna for the Worship Drummer Podcast, and always remember to keep the heart before beat.